عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم، إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض، لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Common phenomena in America and in the West in general, that we see that our Islamic centers, our mosques, are deserted from converts, or as we call them, reverts. We don't see them in our circles. What is the reason? If someone comes into any masjid, what is the percentage of the reverts, those who converted to Islam, is going to be seen at that particular mosque? 1%, less than 1%, 2%? While Islam has been in existence here for a while, for many decades, and many people believe that Islam is the fastest growing religion. Where is it? Fastest growing religion, but the converts are not in the Islamic Center. Do they have their own facilities, their own Islamic centers, separated from the immigrant community? I don't see. I'm searching for Islamic centers that are exclusively catering for the converts, but we don't see any. Maybe few of them that belongs to the African American community. But what about others? Why our Islamic centers do not cater and do not accommodate for the newcomers, for the converts? I see it in three problems, in three main areas. One, in Islam itself, there is a problem. There is a problem with the version of Islam that we implement, not the original version of Islam that presented by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second problem is with the Muslims. There is a problem with the Muslims. And the third problem with the American people themselves, the Westerners. As to the first problem, The version of Islam, the Oriental, Sharqi, Eastern version of Islam that we practice, sometimes Islam that has been brought from the Indian subcontinent, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, from Lebanon, from Iran, from Egypt, from Syria, from other places, North Africa. This version of Islam does not fit this society. Is not compatible with the Western civilization and the Western mentality. And we know that Islam in our countries, back home, Islam intermingles with customs, with the traditions, with culture. Islam is not pure from culture. Many of the things that we see, which are very unpleasant in Arab countries, in Saudi Arabia, in the Gulf states, and in other Islamic countries, when you investigate into them, you find that they do not have religious or Islamic basis. Does not have an Islamic base. It is a purely cultural. One of the things that it's in the news nowadays, it's that women in certain countries, they can't drive. They are not allowed to drive because this is so-called haram. They can't drive. Where is it? Where is it that which book, which hadith states that women cannot drive? If a woman is able to do her, take care of her affairs and her, you know, issues and her life, why she's unable to drive? Where is it? This is because of lack of education. She cannot drive, not because driving is haram for females, because there is no trust in that particular society, there is no trust in the females. This is why they don't allow them to drive. But if they raise them well, if they raise them according to the pure Islamic ethics, they know their boundaries, they know what is good and what is bad, then what's wrong with them driving? Why Muslim women here, they drive? And in Muslim countries, they don't drive. Why? The DMV is different? The system of the DMV is different? No. The system of the brain is different. Mentality is different. So the Islam that we brought with us to this country is not appealing to the American people. The sort of customs and traditions that we practice in these buildings, that we call them mosques and Islamic centers, is not appealing to the American people. There is lack of Muslim harmony, Muslim unity, Muslim respect. In the vast majority of Islamic centers in this country, I'm speaking about America now, there are conflicts between the communities, between those who run the place, with a few exceptions, very few exceptions. Few centers can survive, depending on their leadership. Others, they have conflicts among themselves. The communities, the neighbors, the friends, the relatives, they have problems. We could not present this verse to the American, the verse that says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah wants you to be the best ummah, khayra ummah, the ideal ummah. Are we the ideal ummah? Compare Muslims in America to other communities, other minorities. Are we the ideal? Compare us to the Koreans, to the Vietnamese, to the Chinese, to the other communities. Do we have that sort of social cohesion and respect and trust among ourselves? How many times I hear from people, he says, if I am going to hire a plumber or whatever, I'm not going to hire someone who's Muslim. I'm going to bring someone who's non-Muslim to my house, to my place, to fix my house. So this is a problem because we are not implementing the right Islam. But the Islam that we learned at home, back home, and we try to bring it here and we implement it here. Do you know that in certain communities, that if you don't, here in America, I'm speaking about America, at certain communities, If you don't wear the dishtasha and the kufi, you are not a good Muslim. Because you have to wear exactly the same dress that people wore in Saudi Arabia 1400 years. Otherwise, you are not. With this dress, you are all heretics. You deserve death. Here in America, we have certain communities that they say, this is a Western dress. You have to change yourself, to change your dress. This is not the type of Islam that America would love to see. This is backwardness. So number one problem, Islam is not really spreading here. And by the way, Islam is the fastest growing religion is a myth, my friends. This myth was fabricated at the University of Chicago by a professor to frighten the Americans about Islam. To tell them that if you give them freedom, tomorrow they will take over. Because it's the fastest growing religion. But when you come to the statistics, where is it fasting growing? I think Buddhism is the fastest growing religion, not Islam. As we see people coming, few number of people coming into Islam, again there are a few people who are leaving Islam. So this is number one. The problem is with the version of Islam that we brought with us here. This is number one. The second problem with the Muslims. Muslims are not good ambassadors of Islam. They do not represent their religion and their holy book. There is a huge gap between this book, the teachings of this book, and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and our imams, and on the one hand, and our behavior, our suluk, on the other hand. Huge disparity. There was a survey at George Washington University. I can show you the survey. It's on my desk. It came out last year. It says this survey was made by many professors and researchers to see what countries in the world they implement the true teachings of Quran and Islam. Saudi Arabia came number 136. Do you believe that? 136. And then the countries like Denmark came number one. Sweden actually. Number one was Sweden. Sweden implements the Islamic teachings without being a Muslim country, without being a Muslim government. Sweden was number one. Denmark, Finland, Switzerland, and then other countries I can bring you. And then you come to Muslim countries, they are, 70 and above. 70 and above. And unfortunately, the survey says, whether right or wrong, I don't know. This is the survey, don't accuse me. It says Israel comes number 36 before Muslim countries and before Arab countries. So where is Islam in our life? Where is it? Islam, Imam Hussein says, laqlaqatu lisan. We just speak about it, but we don't practice it. This is the second reason. The third reason Islam is not appealing and we don't see converts at our centers is that the wrong here, I mentioned the first wrong was with the version of Islam itself, the doctrine of Islam that we implement here, the second with the Muslims, and the third one with the American people themselves. Although many of them, the vast majority of them are good, but don't forget, materialism dominates the society. And Islam is about the akhirah. Islam is a religion that says, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. First, your focus should be on the akhirah, but at the same time, don't forget your dunya. Don't forget your life here. Take this life serious. Have good education, good income, good work, good living, good family, good society, safe society. But remember, all these things are means to reach the akhirah. These are means to get into the next life. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهِ. Seek in what God has given you, the intelligence that has given you, the wealth, the health, the power, the knowledge. الدار الآخرة. Build your life there. But at the same time, do not abandon this life. Don't say, I don't need a house, I don't need healthcare, I don't need university, I don't need family, because God is going to take my life and I'm... Don't say this. الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. The way to reach the Akhirah through the dunya, the plantation. Dunya is the plantation for the Akhirah. You sow the seed here, you're going to harvest there. So both life has to be perfect. Both life has to be good and safe and healthy. Unfortunately, many Muslims, they lost this life, and I am worried and afraid that they're going to lose the next one too. When Allah looks at our societies fighting civil war, tell me what country now we don't have civil war in it? What Muslim country? Where is it? Tell me, this country is the safest. We're going to live there. If we leave America, I can find a shelter in this Muslim or Arab country. Where is it? Show me. Show me. So, the Americans, they lived in a society which is far from spirituality. This is why I mentioned this survey the other day. According to the LA Times, 86% of the American people, not only in California, the entire nation, they don't enjoy a good night's sleep. 86%. They have to take medication. 86% due to anxiety. So, because they don't believe in the Akhirah, and therefore Islam does not work for them. As soon as they know there is commitment, 5 times prayers, he says, 5 times? You pray 5 times a day? They hardly go once a week to the church. Hardly they go once. And the one who goes once a week to the church, he's the most pious among them, the most pious. So there is fasting, there is hajj, there is, you have to mandatory charity that you have to calculate yourself and you have to give and dispose, does not work for them. Too much of commitment for men and women when it comes to hijab, another impediment for them. They are not ready to give their commitment. These are 3 reasons we have. And therefore, if you look at the Anbiya, who followed the Anbiya? Take from Idris, who came before Nuh, and then Nuh, and then Ibrahim, and then Musa, and then Isa, and between them hundreds of prophets and messengers until you reach to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who followed them? The influential one, the successful one, the wealthy one. Ma naraka ittaba'aka illa aradhiluna. They say to Nuh that only those who are homeless, you know, and crazy, aradhiluna, the fools among us, they are following you, not the intellectual ones. Does not appeal to them because it requires a lot of sacrifice. To be a good Muslim, a good Christian, it requires a lot of sacrifice. You have to forego lots of attractions of this dunya. You have to have self-control. And some people are not ready for self-control. They want to enjoy this life. The same thing I say about Christianity in America. Do you think that this Christianity which is being implemented at the churches here in America is the Christianity that Jesus brought to the people? If Jesus will be resurrected today and he goes to any American church, Christian church, he would say, yes, this is my religion, this is my tradition, this is my way. Never ever. Jesus will come and say, what's this? This is not Christianity. These are not my teachings. This is not my message. So neither in the West are implementing the true teachings of Isa alayhi salam, nor in the East the Muslims are following the true Sunnah and the true teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr wa sallallahu wa sallama ala sayidina Muhammadin wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونقدسه ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره روي عن سيدنا ومولانا الإمام أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال من أصبح والآخرة أكبر همه استغنى بغير مال واستأنس بغير أهل وعز بغير عشيرة أمير المؤمنين the commander of the faithfuls عليه الصلاة والسلام states who makes the akhirah the next journey the next phase of his life his main goal and main concern see my friends in this life each and every one of us we have our own concerns our own challenges. Each person has his own challenge. Take from the kids who are 2 years old, they have, you know, a challenge, big challenge. They want their parents to buy them new games, you know. And go through those who go to high school and go to college and those women who are homemakers and fathers who are breadwinners, young, old, we have our challenges and our concerns. We think about our income, our mortgage, our livelihood, our family, the safety of our children. Then slowly, slowly, when you get to the age of 50, you start, you know, worrying about your cholesterol, you know, and these things. It's never ending. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, the one who puts the akhirah, yes, you worry about what is happening, but these are minor things. Your main concern, your main worries is the akhirah. What will happen? Suppose I should live for 8 years, but then I get 5 years discount. I die at the age of 75 or at the age of 70. So what? So what these 5 more years or 10 more years are going to do for me? Eventually, I have to go to the akhirah. Eventually. We try to run away from death. But death is after us. Eventually, we have to leave. So few more years are not going to make a big difference in our life. What is going to make a difference is, am I prepared for that one or not? This is the question. Am I prepared for my next journey? Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you get prepared and you are concerned about your next journey, about the akhirah, akbaru hammih, his main concern, his biggest concern is the akhirah. Am I going to succeed there or not? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ Allah says success, real success is not measured by how much money you made in this life. Is whether you're going to avoid the hellfire and go to paradise or not. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you put the concern of the Akhirah right before your eyes, استغنى بغير مال, he is going to be enriched, but with not a big bank account. He is rich. You can call him rich. Because whatever he receives, even if it is small, it is sufficient for him. It is sufficient for him. He does not look further above what he needs. The problem in us getting irritated, annoyed, disappointed, frustrated, because we get what we need, but this is not enough for us. We look for something which is above and beyond and further, more than what we need. That's a great frustration. But if you are content with what God has given you, you will be the happiest person. استغنى بغير مال is going to become غني, self-sufficient, rich, but without cash, without money. واستأنس بغير أهل, also he's going to become sociable, find sociability and happiness without family. He's living alone, but he's not depressed. Because he knows this is a journey. This is a journey to the Akhirah. This is not the real life. So he has to be patient. وَعَزَّ بِغَيْرِ عَشِيرَ. Today, especially in our cultures in the East, when you have Ashira tribe, you feel dignified. You feel powerful. You feel influential. You feel someone important because you have Ashira tribe, family, big family standing with you, defending you. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, but if you don't have big tribe, but your concern is about the Akhirah, you're going to feel dignified. You don't have to have a huge tribe, you know, supporting you, standing with you. You are alone. But you think about the Akhirah. Once you think about the Akhirah, you feel dignified. You don't cheapen yourself in this life. You know, this journey is temporary. It's going to pass by. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. We have a couple of our friends. One of them, someone who comes always to Dr. Muhammadi to Friday prayers, and others who are in dire need for our dua, especially now, Sa'atul Dua, the hour where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays more attention to our supplication. So let's recite this ayah for them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.